We left off last week on Tzaddik Aleph on the base. The Gemara was discussing Yaakov Avinu ran away from Esav. He was afraid that Esav was going to kill him. So he stopped off in the Makom HaMikdash and he slept overnight and he had a cholam. So the Gemara was discussing certain aspects of that, the fact that he stayed overnight. Let's see. So we left off with a pasuk. The Gemara quotes: "Vayachalom hinei sulam mutzav arsa." The cholam that he had, there were malachim going up and going down the cholam, the ladder. Sulam mutzav arsa v'rosh magia hashemaima. The Medrash has different interpretations. What are the malachim supposed to represent? What's going on? So the Gemara is going to have another interpretation, not the way it says in the Medrash. So the Gemara says, "Vayachalom hinei sulam mutzav arsa tana." It says in the Brisa, "Kama rach b'shal sulam." How wide was this sulam, according to the cholam that he had? So the Gemara answers, "Shmoina salofim parsoes." What a parsa is? What is 4 mil? 4 mil, I think. So it's 8. Shmoina salofim, 8,000 times 4 mil. Such a wide, so wide. Dechsib hine malachi alekim olam v'yardim bai. So this Gemara interprets the two malachi alekim is plural. So the two malachim going up, two malachim going down. The Gemara later is going to have a different interpretation that the same malachim who went up came down. So it's not two going up, two and going down simultaneously. But this Gemara interprets a different. And it's in the plural. So the two malachim going up, two malachim going down simultaneously, and every malach is so wide, it's 2,000, what is it? It's 2,000 parsois. So if you have four malachim, so it's going to be 4 times 2, it's going to be 8,000 parsois. That's how the Gemara interprets. Malachim yardim ba'olim shnaim, yardim shnaim, because miut malachim shnaim. Chipog ba'adi hadadi. When they're going up, they're going down, and it's on the same ladder. So you have to have enough room for 4 malachim. At this havelu arba, there are 4 malachim in a row. And how wide is each malach? The body of a malach is kitarshish. Tarshish is some location, a location. Rashi says in Daniel and Yecheskel, there's a place that's called Tarshish. We have a tradition that Tarshish is treyaf of parsi havel. That location is 2,000 parsois. So if each malach is the width of 2,000 parsois, like the location Tarshish, and you have 4 malachim in a row, on one rung in the ladder, so it's 8,000 parsois wide. So, you can dream any fantasy you want.
So why wouldn't Avraham recognize the 3 malachim that came to him when he was sitting by the
altar? They came as human beings, yeah. When you see them as a malach, then they look like they're 2,000 parsois. They came as human beings. I don't know. Apparently. Now the Gemara says, Tana, we have a brisa that has a different version. That it's not two different malachim going up simultaneously with the two going down. The same malachim who went up come down later. Olim umistaklim bidyukno shal mailo. What do you mean, bidyukno shal mailo? So Rashi quotes that in Yecheskel, when Yecheskel has the vision of the Maisa Merkava, so the on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, so to speak, there are four heads. There's Aryeh Kruv Nesher and Adam, a human face. And the human face was Yaakov Avinu's face. So they went up to see the Kisei HaKavod, and they see the Bus Diukna Shal Yaakov Chakuka on the Kisei HaKavod, then the Yordim Umistaklan b'diukna shalmata. They come down and they see Yaakov Avinu. Ubolus hakune. So the malachim wanted to kill him. Why do they want to kill him? So Rashi says that they were jealous. Machmas kina. They see this man is so great. Musdiukna chakuka nekisi hakoved. So they were jealous. That's how Rashi interprets. Rav Chaim Volozhin has a whole different interpretation in the Nefesh HaChaim. He says that he quotes a passage from the Zohar that it says, Avraham, Avraham, v'yam hineni, v'yimach kakach, and spinchas v'chitcha. So in the printed Chumashim, in the Sefer Torah, you don't have printed Chumashim, it says, Avraham, Avraham, there's a bar in between. There's a vertical bar in between, a psik. And then Yaakov, Yaakov is a pasuk also, there's a psik. The only name which is repeated, and there's no psik, is Moshe, Moshe. But Moshe, there's no psik. What is that all about? So the Zohar points this out. So the Zohar interprets, the psik means that the Balkar is supposed to pause a little bit when he lays the pasuk, slightly. So the psik represents the fact that each human being has, in heaven, they have a catalog of all of the neshamas, who are, all the people who exist in this world. And it has in the catalog, it has everyone's potential. How great can you become? So most people do not fulfill their potential. So there's a big gap in between in between Avram in heaven and the card catalog upstairs in heaven and Avram on this earth. And there's a gap between Yankov in heaven and Yankov over here on this earth. Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled his potential to the maximum. That's how it says, Moshe Eved Hashem. He's referred to as Eved Hashem. In the beginning of Yeshua, it says, Moshe Abdi Meis. So the Radak writes on those psukim, why is Moshe Rabbeinu referred to as an Eved? Because we have a rule by Eved Knaini, by Eved Ivri, it doesn't apply. By Eved Knaini, there's a rule, Kol Mashe Kon Eved Kon Rabbo. The Eved, everything belongs to the Adam. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the only person in the whole wide world who gave over everything, all of his kishreinus, everything he gave to Rabban Shalom. The pasuk says, "Vayered Moshe min ha'har el ha'am," when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash on that pasuk, "Shalapana la'sokov." When he came down from Har Sinai, he didn't take care of any of his own needs. He dedicated his whole life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no gap between the Moshe Shalmaila and the Moshe Shalmata, and by Avraham and by the others, there is a gap.
So why does it say then, I think where Hashem summarizes Moshe's life and through travels, it says, and I got angry at you, like he tells Moshe that he got angry at Moshe for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu did Averis, I don't know.
But if that was his maximum, why getting...
I don't know. Good kasha? I don't know. So Rav Chaim Volozhin suggests maybe the Malachim went up to heaven to see what this fellow's potential is. And then they come down and they see this man is sleeping. This man has such great potential. He's still sleeping. That's too awful. He should have been doing Avodas Hashem. So he says, that's for Bolus Hakuni, because he's not living up to his potential. Yaakov Avinu didn't live up to his potential. So then it says, Miyad, immediately, Vihin Hashem Nitzav Olov. So the word Olov is unclear. Olov means Hashem was standing on top of the Sulam, on top of Yankov. So the Mefarshim have two pshatim. So the Gemara interpreting Hashem needs of Olav to protect the Yankov Avinu. Not that Hashem was on top of the ladder. That's the way the Pasuk says. We would never have the chutzpah to say it on our own. The Rebbe Shalom is standing over Yankov Avinu to protect him from the Malachim. They shouldn't harm him. Odom Shemein if Abino. Like a father wants to take care of his son. The son has a fever or something, so the father is waving a fan to take care of his little baby. So the Baruch Hashem is taking care of Yaakov Avinu, is protecting him from everything that's happening.
Malachim have Bechira?
Different kinds of Malachim. Some, the 10, the Rambam, I think, has the 10 different categories of Malachim, different phrases in Tanakh. More here is going to say also, Ifanim and Srofim and Chayas. Different kinds of malachim at different levels. So some of them apparently do have bechira.
And kinnah also.
As they by study, that's how Rashi assumes. I don't know. I don't know at all. So Yaakov Avinu was sleeping there on the Makom HaMikdash. Some of the Mefarshim say they wanted Bolus Hakuneh they wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu. Wait, he's sleeping in the Makom HaMikdash. What's the matter with you? That was the other error. What is he sleeping in the Makom HaMikdash? And when he wakes up in the morning, he says, Vanoch lo yadaiti. I didn't know that this was the Makom HaMikdash. Ein zekim beis alekim. Vanoch lo yadaiti. He didn't know. But some of Arshman and Yaakov say that's why Bikshu l'horgo. Yeah. So then when he wakes up in the morning, so Rebbe Shalom tells him, Ha'oretz ha'sharatu shachav alel, l'cho atinen ol'zarecha, this area that you slept on. So the Gemara says, my Rebuse, two by nothing. A person sleeps on the ground. So how tall is the person? Giant. He's 6 feet tall. 6.5 feet tall. And how wide is he? It's the ha'gonish mit ha'gonish. So Rebbe Shalom says, the earth that you slept on, I'm going to give it to your descendants. So what's the gedula? Where's the gedula? My revuse, what's the great matana? Om Rabbi Yitzchak Malame, the pasuk, you must assume pshat, and the pasuk is, Shekipla Kodesh Baruch Hu L'chal Eretz Yisrael V'Hinicha Tachas Yaakov Avinu. He promised, I'm going to give you the whole Eretz Yisrael, not just the land that you slept on. So how do you translate the earth that you slept on? HaKadosh Baruch Hu folded up all of Eretz Yisrael, and he put it on the Yaakov Avinu. Why did he do that trick? So to indicate that it will be very easy later on in the days of Yishuv Benon to conquer the land. Yeah, they had the Oren. The Oren was going before them and knocking down all the enemies. So that's why the Rabbanu Shalom made that Ness, made that Simen, that all of Eretz Yisrael should be under Yaakov Avinu, that he should know that then later generation will be easy shmeasy to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So then later, that Yaakov Avinu went to Choron, and then he married his four wives, and he had us all the Shvatim, the Yud Bei Shvatim, and then he comes back to Eretz Yisrael. This is later. This is in Bereishis, chapter Chav Ches. Then in chapter Lamed Beis, that's on his way later. After 20 years of being away from Eretz Yisrael, he comes back. So on the way back, well, we're learning Paragid Anoshe. So on the way back, a malach mugged him and broke his leg, and then he survived. And then Akein Leochman says, "Gid Anoshe, we don't need the Gid Anoshe." So on that occasion, when the malach broke his leg, but he won the battle against the malach. He had the malach in some kind of a hold. So the malach says to him, "Shalcheni ki ola hashachar." Please let me go. Yaakov had the malach in some kind of a hold, so the malach is, please do me a favor, let me go. It's alois hashachar now. It's soon going to be another hour, so it's going to be zricha. Amalo, so Yaakov Avinu asked him, why are you afraid to stay here? I have to leave. The sun is soon going to come up. Why? The police are looking for you. So you only roam around at nighttime when it's dark. You're afraid to appear in the daytime. Are you a ganav that the police are looking for you? O kuvyustus ato. What does the word kuvyustus mean? So Tosfos says kuvyustus means a gambler. Are you a gambler and you owe everybody money and you're embarrassed to walk around in broad daylight because people are going to pester you? You owe everybody money? Or Rashi learns kuvyustus. A kidnapper. Also that the police are looking for you. Tosfos is not happy with Rashi's interpretation. Kidnapper. It doesn't fit in other Gemaras, in other Midrashim. Okay, whatever it is. So Yaakov Avinu says to the Malach, what are you afraid of? Why do you insist I have to let you go before the sun rises? Are you a ganef or kuvyustu shemisyorim and ashachi afraid of their light, afraid of their daytime? Amalai Malach ani, no, I'm an angel. Miyom shenivresi, from the day that I was created a long, long time ago, lahi gez mani lama shira ad achshav. I never had a chance to say shira to the Rebbeinu Shalom. There's a concept of Shira Samalochim, and today is my day. So if you're not going to let me go, I won't be able to say Shira. So the Gemara said, that's a fascinating idea. Number one, that the Malochim say Shira. And number two, that they don't say Shira every single day. He didn't have an opportunity. We don't know when was the Malach created? Well, he was created in Sheshes Mei Breishes. I don't know, maybe. He was created in Sheshes Mei Breishes, and this is a few thousand years later. And he didn't have an opportunity to say Shira at Achshav. The word he said, Rav Hanan, quotes in the name of Rav. Shalosh kita shal malachi asharis omes shira b'chol yoim. He says malachim say shira. So this interpretation of the pasuk that the malach said, I got to say shira, but it's not the same as what he says. He says there were three groups of angels that say Shiri every single day, B'chol Yayim. He's saying I didn't have a chance to say Shiri yet since I was created. Allahum were created in the Sheish Yismei Bereshis. It's not exactly the same, but Messiah Le'Rav Hanan, the bottom Taisa says, the fact that that Malachim say Shira. So Malachim say Shira says in Tanakh also.
Malachim Kadoshim, new ones.
What?
New
Malachim, yeah. I don't know. So Rav Hanan quotes in the name of Rav, every day there are three groups of Malachim who say Shira. Achas Amer is Kadosh. It says Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzoka. Why does it say Kadosh? There's only one God. We don't believe in the Trinity. Why does it say three times? So he says, one group of Malachim say Kadosh. Next group says Kadosh. And the third group says Kadosh, Hashem Tzvakos. So you see that Rav Hanana quotes the name of Rav Malachim say Shira. So that supports the interpretation that we gave them. Malachim say Shira. Okay, it's not really a full support to what he said. So the Gemara says, it says Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Nobody says three times Kadosh, Kadosh. One group of Malachim say once Kadosh, another group says once, and a third group says Kadosh. But the Navi writes Kadosh, 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 putting together what all the three groups say. Feg Mar Kasha, but that's not our tradition. Nesve, our tradition is that the Malachim say Kadosh, the same Malachim say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. Not that it's three different groups and no one says more than once Kadosh. The Malachim say three times. Meisvei, we have a brisa. Chaviv insof now. Kodesh Baruch Hu Yosem. Malachi Ashores. The Bnei Shalom cherishes the Jewish people more than he likes the Malachim. What way? Sheisolamim Shira b'chol shor. Bnei Yisrael can say Shira to the Bnei Shalom whenever they want to. Malachi Ashores and Amim Shira ala parmachas bayom. Only once a day. They don't have the right to say Shira all day long. The Amri Law, another version has it, parmachas b'Shabbos, once a week. They say Shira to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The Amri Law, third version, has it Pamachas Bachodesh once a month. The Amri Law once a year. The Amri Law once every 7 years. The Amri Law, and the next version is Pamachas B'Yoiva once in 50 years. The Amri Law, Pamachas B'Elam once in the whole lifetime. The Malachim were created. They only say Shira not once in every 50 years, once in the whole lifetime. So that's one difference that Bnei Yisrael, we say Kedusha. Shachris, whenever you have Chazar Sashatz, you say Kedusha. We say Kedusha in the Bolatzim, we say Kedusha in the Yotzeror. We can say Kedusha whenever we want. Malachim are limited, restricted, much less. Maximum they can say is once a day. So that's one difference.
This is Malach Yaakov, once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime.
Right.
He's waiting.
This is it.
Yeah. This Brisa supports what he said. And then the next difference is. The next difference is V'Yisrael Maskir Mas Hashem Achas Shtei Teves. We say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So we mention Shem Hashem after introducing it with two words, Shema Yisrael, and we say right away Shem Hashem. Malachi Ashores have no right to say Shem Hashem in the Shira till they give an introduction of three words. Malachi Ashores say Maskir Mas Hashem Ela Lacha Gimel Teves Kedusiv Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakos. So they have to. So the same Malach says Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Not that one group says once Kadosh, everybody only says once. No. The Malachim all have to give an introduction. They have no right to pronounce Shem Hashem without first giving an introduction of three other words, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And then there's a third difference. They Malach Hashem Samim Shira L'mayla. In heaven, the Malachim have no right to say Shira. Hachem Yisrael L'mata. We have to say Shira first. The Malachim cannot say Shira first. They have to wait till the Bnei Yisrael in this world say, then they can say. Hadi Noshe Nemar, Pasuk says in Tanakh, Beroim Yachad Kerch Veboiker. Who are the Kerch Veboiker? So Rashi says the Jewish people are compared to the Kochavim. Rabbi Shalom told Avraham Avinu, go out. Yotzos Achutzos Var Kochavim Tuchlispa. Ko Yezarecha. The Jewish people are like stars in the sky. So Beroim Yachad Kerch Veboiker. When the Jewish people who are compared to the stars in the sky we'll be singing Rina Beroin Yachad when we say Shira together. Then Behadir after that by a real called Bnei Elokim. Then the angels have the right to say Shira.
What about the fact that different places on earth say different times?
What mean different people who live on the earth?
I know. The time zones are different. It's a nighttime here, daytime here. It's like
yeah.
This.
So therefore, one.
So there's always one group saying Shira.
The Malachim only say Shira when Bnei Yisrael, where?
where?
It's based on Yerushalayim and New York and Tel Aviv. Yeah, I don't know. Where? The Jews live all over the world, yes. The Gemara has that the Rishayim who burn in Gehenim are off on Shabbos. The Gehenim, the Gemara says, Tunis Rufus Arasha went to his father's grave. Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, Tunis Rufus says, Rabbi Kiva, why do you observe Shabbos? Why did you make up such a Baba Maisa that Shabbos is different from the other days of the week? There's no indication that it's true, no scientific indication. So he said, go to your father's grave and you see. So all week long, there's smoke coming out from his father's grave. His father was a Rosha, and on Shabbos, there's no smoke. So apparently, even the Rishoyim don't burn in Gehenim on Shabbos. Even though some Kabbalists were right, only one is a Shem Shabbos, doesn't burn in Gehenim on Shabbos. One who wasn't a Shem Shabbos during his lifetime, so he doesn't recognize Shabbos, so he's going to burn in Gehenim even on Shabbos. So they say, from the Gemara, wouldn't it appear so? The Gemara says, the father of Tunis Rushi was a Nochri. He didn't observe Shabbos. Shabbos didn't mean anything to him. Still, his grave wasn't giving off smoke on Shabbos. So what does it mean the Rishayim don't burn Gehenim on Shabbos? Which 24 hours of Shabbos? New York, Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim, which Shabbos? So the Mishlei Melech has a whole essay about this in his Sefer Parashas Drachim. So he quotes some Sfardishi. He quotes always Sfardishi Gedolim. He was a Sfardi. He quotes some Sfardish Rabbeim that he had, it must be Yerushalayim time. The official time is Yerushalayim time. So maybe it means over here when the Jews in Yerushalayim say Kedusha. I don't know. What does it mean? Beren Yachad Kechibaka. Which Jews are saying Kedusha? I don't know. So the Gemara says, don't you see from here that it's not one group, the Malachim only say once Kadosh? No, the same Malachim say three words, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What are you telling me? That one group says Kadosh, and one group says Kadosh. The same person says, or the same Malach says all three times. Elazar Digmar, it means like this. Achas Hameres Kadosh. One group, he said there are three groups, and each one says something else. It must be like this. The first group says Kadosh once. Achas Hameres Kadosh, Kadosh. The third group says Kadosh, and the first two groups have no right to say, to finish the sentence. They just say Kadosh. They have no right to pronounce Shem Hashem. The third group of angels have the right to mention Shem Hashem if they're introducing it with the three words Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakosh, right? So that's the greatness of Bnei Yisrael that we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. If the two words of introduction we say Shem Hashem, and the Malachim have to have three words of introduction, right? So now the Gemara asks, but it's not true. The Malachim say Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, so they say the Shem Hashem after two words, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkomo. Freg the Gemara, Behoika Baruch. You only have two words before. You're telling me that the Malachim always have to give an introduction of three words before they pronounce Shem Hashem. And for the Gemara, one answer is Oifanim, everything about Baruch, that Shevach is Oifanim Hu Di Amrile. That's a different group of angels. Kadosh, 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 that's Rafim say that. So the Srafim are lower level angels, so they have to have an introduction of three words, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But the Afanim Arep is a higher level of Malachim. The Rambam has in the Mishnah Torah, as there are 10 levels of Malachim, it gives you the word, the names in Tanakh. Srafim, Afanim, Achayis HaKodesh, different names. So some of them have Chiruch Havshis and some of them don't. Some of them just have a Shlichas, and that's all. They just do the Shlichas and that's all. So the first suggestion the Gemara gives is that different levels of Malachim, and some of them don't need an introduction of three words. The boy is Amon, if you want, you can give a different answer. They don't say Baruch Kvod Hashem Mekama first. First they say Kadosh, 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 and they have permission to say Shem Hashem, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. And then, Kivin Yisayi Vrushusa, since they have Heter, since they have permission to mention Shem Hashem, so it's Yayim, so they have permission. So now the next pasuk then say Baruch Kavod Hashem Kama. They don't have to say each time three introductory words before they get to the Shem Hashem. They already had permission from Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Baruch Kavod Hashem Kama always has to come after Kadosh. It can't come before.
For Shechner, there's a Gemara, I think in Brachas. I'm not sure where, which brings down that from Yisrael that a boy can say Hashem's name after just one word, because Yisrael said Baruch Hashem and so on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember.
It's a similar Gemara. It says that Malachim takes them three words, by Jews two words, but by Goy, from Yisrael is just one word.
So the Goyim have more heter than the Jews? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Mashal talks about it. I don't know. Don't know, a good question. I don't know. So the Adi Gemara is continuing to discuss the psukim regarding Yankel Avinu fighting with the mouth. That's Perigin Anasha. That's what the whole Perig is all about. So that in the Chumash, it never says that it was a malach. In the Haftarah, Parshas Vayishlach, it said it was a malach. The Chumash, it says there was somebody there, and they had a fight, and he broke his leg, and he was limping. But the Haftarah says that in the Haftarah and Treyasa, it says that he was a malach. Vayasar al malach, Vayuchal. And he fought with a malach, and he won. Who won? It's unclear who won the battle. The Pasuk in Chumash says Yankov Avinu was limping, he broke his leg. So the malach won or Yankov Avinu won? Bocha vayischanan lo, and he was crying and begging and pleading. Who was crying? Who won the fight and who was pleading from whom? It's unclear. Any of them, minasa sar lemi vayasar al malach. He became a sar. Who became? Who became a sar? I mean, who won the fight? Who won the battle? In a day, minasa sar lemi, did Yaakov Avinu win or did the malach win? Kishoyim, when the pasuk says in Chumash, kisarisa ima lekim v'ima nosh matuchal, he's going to change his name. Instead of only being known as Yaakov, he's going to give him an additional name, Yisrael, kisarisa ima lekim v'ima nosh. So you see, Havi Yomer, you see from the pasuk in Chumash, Yaakov minasa sar lemalach. And then Bocha Baishananel also, the Pasuk in Treyasa, it's unclear who was pleading, who was crying, and who was pleading from whom. Any day, me Bocha Lemi. The answer is whoever won the battle, the other one was crying to him, let me go, release me. So that's what the Gemara interprets. Kishuayma Vayom Shalcheni, Kiola Hashacha, Habiyam, Malach Bocha Leyankiv, let me go free. So then the Gemara comments, what does it mean? Kisarisa imalakim ve'ima noshim batuchal. Kisarisa, you are Yankov Avinu, I see you are a sar. That's why we're going to add an additional name, Yisrael. Kisarisa imalakim ve'ima lakim means with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elakim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'ima noshim. What does it mean? So the Gemara interprets, no. Elohim is Loshen Chol. Why? So Rashi quotes, "Nikra balabais elhu Elohim," and Parshas Mishpatim. Adhu Elohim yovad vashneim. That's Loshen Chol. When the Sefer writes a Sefer Torah, so it says Bereishis bor elakim. So you have to have in mind to be mekadosh it, because the letters Aleph Dalet, Aleph Lamed, the Hey Yud Mem spell out it's a Loshen Kodesh and it's a Loshen Chol. Sometimes the Avda Elohim Achirim, there it's a Loshen Avodah Zarah, and sometimes it means Dayanim Mumchim Smuchim. So the Gemara interprets Kisarisa im Elohim Loshen Chol v'im Anoshim. Elohim means with Dayanim who have smicha, v'im Anoshim with Balabatim who don't have smicha. Amar Rabbe, what the Malach told Yankov Avinu, Remez Ramaz Loi, the Malach alluded to, he told them what's in store in the future. Shasidim Shnei Sarim Lotzeis Mimenu, there'll be two great leaders of the Jewish people. One will be the Reish Galusa in Bavel, and one will be the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. The Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, you can give smicha. You can't confer smicha in Chutz Lord. All the smicha that we have today is all imitation smicha. Even in Eretz Yisrael, it's only imitation smicha, because the chain of the Masor of smicha Yishmi Piyish at Moshe Rabbeinu was broken a long time ago, 1500 years ago, in the days of the Amoraim. So even in Eretz Yisrael, there's no real smicha. The smicha today is only to fulfill the takana de Rabbanan. The Gemara has in the beginning of Sanhedrin, Rebbe made a takana talmud al yoreh and came not to reshus my rabbi. Nobody should yoreh, shouldn't pass in any shaylas. Or yoreh means it shouldn't teach in the school. It shouldn't be a rebbe, a moreh, to teach Torah. Elam came not to reshus my rabbi, unless he has permission from the Rebbe. The Rebbe will give permission based on, number one, does he know the material? Number two, does he know how to speak clearly? He can know all the material fantastically, but if he doesn't have a clear diction, so the Rebbe is not supposed to give him rishus. That's the context that the Gemara has it. Gemara says there was once a big Talmid Chacham. He came from one section of Eretz Yisrael and he had a certain style of pronunciation. What do you call it? An accent,
dialect.
Yeah.
Dialect.
A dialect. Dialect. And he was giving a shir at another community, and he said over a din, and they misunderstood what he said, because he spoke a different dialect. So the Gemara said that's when Rebbe made the takana Talmud al Yoreh. No one's allowed to give a shir He wasn't paskening any shadow. He was giving some summary shadows saying, Talmud Ayar shouldn't paskin, Hoyro. Talmud Ayar shouldn't teach, shouldn't be a more in a school. As she told Rishus Meir Rabbah, you have to have permission, and the Rebbe should only give permission if he knows the material and he knows how to speak well. He has to have a course on homiletics. Has to know how to put together a drasha, to have a beginning and a middle and an end, and how to pronounce all the words properly. Yeah. So all the smicha we have today is imitation smicha. So that's how Rabbi is interpreting. The Malach told him, Kisarisa imalahim v'imanoshim, you're going to have in the future, there'll be a Jewish leader in Eretz Yisrael who's going to dreiz a harum with the Rabbanim who have smicha. That's the Nosish of Eretz Yisrael. And in Vim Anoshim, and in Bottle, you have a Reish Galusa, where the heart is going to be, there won't be anybody with Smicha there. A person that got Smicha in Eretz itself, who goes to Bottle, the Smicha doesn't evaporate. The Smicha still holds. But they couldn't travel back and forth, it was too expensive. So after a while, the people in Bottle, nobody had any Smicha. Rabbi Shmuel lived in Eretz Israel, and they went to Bubble to establish yeshivas. So Rab got smicha, and Shmuel didn't get smicha. Every week something else came up, and the boat left, so he left, they didn't get smicha. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi felt bad about it, so the Gemara says in Bab Mitzia, somebody told him, I saw in Sefer Shalada Marishain that there's going to be a generation, there's going to be Rabbi Shmuel, Rab is going to get smicha, Shmuel is not going to get smicha. Chacham Yiskari, Rebbe Lo Yiskari. So Rab did have smicha, but he couldn't confer the smicha to others in Bavel, because he can only confer smicha if they're both in Eretz Yisrael, the masmich and the samach have to both be in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rabbi says. And when the Malach added the name Yisrael, Kisarisa im Elohim im Anoshim, Elohim is Loshen Chol, meaning Adreitzach Harum Dayonim Smuchim, Musmachim, the im Anoshim with learned people that don't have smicha. The Remez Ramaz Losh, Asidim, Shnei Sarim, lots of men, he's going to have descendants later, Reish Galusa, Shavuot, and Asher, Baritz Yisrael, and Mikan Ramaz Lo Galus, he already told them that there's going to be a Galus. We assume that the Malach broke his leg, that's a symbol of the Jews suffering. He was a tzaddik, Yankov Avinu was a tzaddik, but the Malach broke his leg and he was limping, so that's also a remez for the suffering of the Jewish people and the Galus and all the pogroms. Dorish El Shmad, that's how the Medrash says. The Malach breaking the leg of Yaakov Avinu represents Dorish El Shmad. So that's what Rabbi says also. Mikan, Ramaz Lagolus, he alluded to the fact that the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov was on his way back to Eretz Israel when the Malach broke his leg. So he alluded to the fact that there's going to be a longer Golus in the future, and those Jews are going to suffer a lot. So once they were spending time interpreting the Cholam, in his Sulam Otsavartzu Rosh Magiyah Shemaimah, that's the Cholam that Yaakov Avinu had years before, 20 years before, when he was leaving Eretz Yisrael, going to find the Shidduch. So now they're going to discuss the Cholam way later in Chumash Bereishis. The Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim both had a dream. So the Sar HaMashkim had a dream. He sees a vineyard, vines that are growing, Ubagefen Shlosha Sorigim, and there are three branches on the vine, and there are clusters of grapes. And Sar HaMashkim says, I took the grapes and I squeezed it out, Lakos Para, made wine, and I gave the wine to Paro, and he drank it. So Yosef interprets the dream, and another 3 days, Paro is going to have you come and serve him the wine. So the Gemara is going to interpret the dream. What is it supposed to represent? So each Amora has a totally different interpretation of what the aspects of the dream are supposed to represent. Uba Geffen and the vine Shlosha Sarigim, there were three branches. Omer Avchia Barabe, Omer Rav. He quotes the name of Rav. What do the three branches represent? Eile Sori Geim Hayotzim Yisrael B'chol Dor V'dor. What is Sori Geim? Rashi says, wealthy Jews who are shtadlonim, krayv malchus, and they help out the Jewish people. And every generation, there are always many shtadlonim, but there are three major shtadlonim. Hayotzim is on Jewish people, b'chol dor v'dor. Sometimes two live in Bavel and one is in Eretz Yisrael, and pamim shnayim be'eretz Yisrael, yechad kan. Sometimes the two come from Eretz Yisrael and one in Bavel, but altogether there are three major. So at that time, when Rabbi Chiya Barab said it in the name of Rav, So the Talmidim, Yahivu Rabbanan, Rabbanan means the Talmidim. Talmidim, when they heard this brasha, so they thought right away, well, first came to mind, Yahivu Rabbanan Enayu, Birabnu Ukva, Birabnu Nechemya, B'nai Brate de Rav. Rav had two grandsons who were wealthy Shtadvanim, who used to, like, Aguda people, who told them about the government all the time. And they get breaks with the Jewish people. So the Talmidim and Yeshiva thought right away, oh, in this generation there were two in Babel, and there's probably one in Eretz Yisrael that they didn't know about. So the two in Babel were the grandchildren, B'nai Brate, the sons of the daughter of Rav. So this was the interpretation, the first interpretation. Who said that? I forgot the name already. Rav Chia Bar Abba says, the Shlosha Sarigim represents the three Sarigim, the three Jewish Tadlorim. The next opinion the Gemara has, Rav Amar, different interpretation, Shlosha Sarigim, three Malochim. Every Ummah in later in Tanakh you have, Ksuvim, that there's a Malach who is in charge of every nation, every Goyish nation. So the three Malochim who were supervising three Goyish nations, in every generation there are three Malochim who, for the Goyim, who argue out the case for the Jewish people. Rabbi Lezer, the Tanna Rabbi Lezer has a totally different interpretation. Geffen Zeho Oilom. Geffen is a representative, represents the whole wide world. Shlosha Sarigim, the three parts are the three basic Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the three pillars that everything in the world rests on. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not only the fathers of the Jewish people, they keep the whole world going because the ideas that they heard about are Lakus. The Gemara says, L'nikru obis alo shloisha. The Gemara in Bracha says, there were only three of us. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon Havim. He was a greater Novi than anybody before him or after him. But he wasn't given any new insights that weren't already given to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. The three founders of the Jewish religion, the three fathers were Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So not only did they form the basis of the Jewish religion, they gave these ideas to the whole world. So these are the Shlosha Sarigim of the whole world. Then the rest of the Chol Mehipah Kiparachas also Nitzah Hibshilu Hibshilu Eshkola Seha Novim. And the Geffen is developing, it's growing. So he Kiparachas also Nitzah Elo HaImoyes. It's not enough, you can't just have Shlosha Ovis, you have to have Arba Imoyes as well. It's also important. Hibshilu Eshkola Seha Novim, and the clusters of grapes were fully ripened. Every bet represents Eila Shvatim, the Yud Beshvatim. So that's what Reb Lezer interprets, that who had this cholam? This was the Sar HaMashkim had the cholam, and he was in prison, and Yosef was interpreting the cholam. So he says, this is what the things represent. So Reb Yeshua and Reb Lezer were contemporaries. They argue a lot in Halacha, and they argue about Agada also. So Reb Yeshua is not happy. What usually when a person, the Gemara has in the end of Brachas, a cholam is echad b'shishin minivua. The cholam sometimes ben hashamayim, they show you what's in store in the future. Ein cholam below b'dorim b'telim. They're going to be silly things in the cholam also. So the person has to be able to pick out which parts of the cholam is a prediction for the future, which is d'orim b'telim. But you're telling me that the cholam that Yosef was the youngest of the shvatim, after him came Binyamin, that's it. So they showed the Sar HaMashkim a dream about Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and the Shvatim and the Imoyes. That was already. That's ancient history. It was already. You're supposed to show in a Cholam, the greatness of a Cholam is if you can predict the future, Ech D'Shishim B'Nevuah, about the future, not about the past. So Omala Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Shua argues with Rabbi Lezer, Chemar Von Lo De Masha Hoya. You show a person in a dream what happened in the past, what was already. The three of us and the four Imoyes and the Aloy Marlodan Malamashosilias. So he doesn't agree with his pshat. Ella Zakta on the first wide line. Ella Zakta and Geffen is not Geffen Zeho Elam. It's not the whole wide world and Avram Yitzchak Yaakov are the fathers of the whole world. No. Ella Geffen Zetorah. Shlosha Sarigim, the three basic pillars of the Torah, are Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. There were three Nevi'im all at the same time. Each one was given a nevuah. The Hika Parachas Hal Sanitzar is representative of the Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu appointed a Sanhedrin in the midway. Shilash Knesset Anovim That's what they were showing him, the future. This didn't happen yet. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't born yet. Moshe Rabbeinu was born years later. Moshe Rabbeinu was born many years later. So they're showing Paro, they're showing Sarah Mashkim a dream about the future. So the Gemara is not even happy with Rabbi Shua's interpretation either. Omer Rav Nachman, what's the Girsa? Omer Rav Nachman, I think. I don't like his pshat either, Zokta. I don't like Rav Leizer's pshat. I don't like Rav Yishua's pshat. We need Adain Tzichamana L'maydoi. We have to know, we have to medaf onkum into the interpretation of the third time, Rav Leizer HaMaydoi. The Mokum Elokulei B'chad Mokum. It's all talking about the same thing. Not Moshe Rabbeinu and the Sanhedrin and the Tzadikim Shebechol Dabadar. It's too scattered. It has to be more centralized. The Mukam Lukulei Bechad Makam, what is it? Ablez Abadoyim, it's the quote of Christ, the Geffen Zay Yerushalayim, they're showing him Yerushalayim in the Chol. Shlosha Sarigim are the three major elements of Yerushalayim, based on Nigdosh, and Melech, and the Kangor. The Melech, the Rambam, Alpidin, Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. It's not just a political position that the Israeli government took, it's Alpidin like that. Yerushalayim is the official capital of Eretz, and when you have the official government, namely Amalchus Beis David, the Rambam writes, he quotes a Yerushalmi in the beginning of Hilchus Malachim, if you have any government other than Malchus Beis David, they're not supposed to use Yerushalayim as the capital. So the Shlosha Sarigim, the three fundamental aspects of Yerushalayim are Beis Hamikdash, you're supposed to have that Yerushalayim Bishlei Musa. Yerushalayim has two dinim. It's the capital of Eretz Yisrael, so the government is supposed to be there in the Beis Hamikdash. It's the Makam Hamikdash. So he shows him Yerushalayim with the three Sarigim, the Beis Hamikdash, and the Melech from the Malchus Beis David, and the Kain Gadol. Kain Gadol is an institution, and the Beis Hamikdash. Kain Gadol is supposed to be in charge, supposed to supervise all the Hakrobos, Hakabos, and the Beis Hamikdash. So then the Nevuah continues that this vine with the grapes, Ikavarachas also Nitza, what does that refer to? It's beginning to grow. That refers to the Pirchei Kohuna in the Beis Hamikdash, the young Kohanim. Pirchei Kohuna means their beards are beginning to grow. They're 18 years old. Beards are beginning to grow, and they're all running around in the Beis Hamikdash, taking care of Hakrobas, Hakarbonis. Then it says, Hifshilo Ashkuloseho Anovim, and the clusters of grapes on this vine are ripening, and it's getting heavy. That's a reference to the Nesachim in the Beis Hamikdash in conjunction with the Karbonis. They used to pour wine down the pipes on the Mizbech. So that was Rav Leizer HaMadoi's interpretation. So Rav Nachman liked that better than Rav Leizer's and better than Rav Yeshua's Pshar. Then the Gemara says, are these interpreting Gansen differently? Rav Yeshua Melevi, Mokim Elabim Matonis. He interprets the whole Nevuah. They all assume the Nevuah is showing this Aramashkim something that's in store in the future. And he says it goes on the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people. Namely, what are the gifts? Dom Rav Yeshua Melevi, Geffen Zu Torah. That's the same as before. Not Geffen Zu Ha'olam, not Kol Olam Kul, Geffen is Torah. Shlosha Sarigim are the three Matanas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people in the Midbar. The Be'er, that they had water in the Midbar, Amud Ha'anan, and the Mon, that they ate. The man was for eating, the bear was for drinking. Amun Ha'olam was for protection and for guiding them where to travel. Hika Parachas also Nitzo, the Geffen was developing. So what is that reference to? Elu HaBikurim. When they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, they're on their way to come to Eretz Yisrael. So when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they'll be able to bring Bikurim from the pears that grow in Eretz Yisrael. If Shilash Melaseh Anovim, Elu HaNasach. That's a reference, that's the same as before. They're going to bring the Sochim and the Beis Hamikdash. Each one has another interpretation. The Midrashim also have many different interpretations on the Chavoyimus. Geffen Elu Yisrael. Oh, it doesn't. Not Geffen Zaharim Kula and Geffen Zaharim. Geffen Elu Yisrael. That's a Pasuk. That's a Pasuk in Tilim. Geffen Mitzrayim Tasiya. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam picked up a vine in Egypt. That's the Jewish people. And he took us out, and he planted us in Eretz Yisrael. So in Tehillim it describes the Jewish people as Geffen Mitzrayim Tasiya. Because Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt. So the Geffen represents the Jewish people. The Shlosha Sarigim are the Shalosh Regalim that the Jews come to be Ola Regal B'chol Shana V'Shana. Ika Parachas also needs. So what is that referring to? That's it's time for when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim. So it says he gives manushal yisrael nefesh for lirvos. The manushal they were only shaving nefesh yodav seichem lemitzrayim. And it says bnei yisrael pur vayishu tzvayirbu. They multiplied a lot. So that's why it says kiparachas. Also, he kiparachas the gefen was growing and growing abnormally. The gefen, it was a little gefen, and it started to grow so many clusters of grapes in an abnormal fashion. So that's representative of the fact that this the cholam of the Saramashkim was before Yosef became the shalat on Eretz Mitzrayim, and later after that, kashiyanu asim ken yifru ken yirba v'ken yifru. So that the period of Rivia that happened after that cholam. So they were showing the Sar HaMashkem, what's in store in the future. The Jewish people are going to multiply tremendously. And then it says, also Nitzah, the flowers were beginning to bud on the clusters of grapes, on the vine. What does that represent? The flowers are budding. He gives Manashay Sarli Goel, it's time for the Geula. So this was all showed to the Sar HaMashkem in his cholam, that the Jewish people are going to multiply in an unusual fashion. They start off with Shivim Nefesh and it becomes Shishim Ribo. And this is what the Shishim Ribo, it says, V'chamushim olam b'nei yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim, only one fifth. And there were five times as much. So that was tremendous period of Rivian. Yeah, why do you say also, Nitza is a reference to this man Hagula. V'chein ha'ema by the Gula Hasida. The Gula Hasida after Golus Edom says V'yes Nitzchum al Begodai. The pasuk describes the Ribbono Shel Olam, his clothing is going to be all stained from the blood of Esav of Edom. V'yes Nitzchum al Begodai v'cham al Busha Egolti. So here also Nitza has the connotation of it's time for the Gula from Mitzrayim. Shilu Ashkelos Seho Anovim, and the clusters of grapes became fully ripened. That represents the idea that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was Higias Manasham Mitzrayim Lishtakos Atarelo. It was time to punish the Mitzrayim. They were punished with Esamakis. They were punished with all the Esamakis, and then Kriyas Yamsuf. So many Mitzrayim drowned at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. So that was Hivshilu Ashkelos Seho. Sometimes you give a bitter cup, you taste a delicious cup of coffee or tea or something, you taste a delicious cup of wine, and sometimes you taste a bitter drink. So that's called a kosho tarela. Kosho tarela, the Mitzrayim suffered at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I know the Amar Rava, that's similar to what Rava said, Shlosha Kosos Hamuris be Mitzrayim. When the Sar HaMashkim tells over his dream to Yosef, so the word kos appears three times there. So why three times? So it represents in the beginning of Arbi Pesachim. So the Mishnah says that on Leil Pesach you have Arbi Koses. So we all know the famous comment that the Bavli never explained. Yerushalmi says, because Ratzeisiv Yitzal to be Galti Bilakachta. But there's another version in Yerushalmi that the word kos appears four times in the story. So here Rav is working that the word kos appears, first it appears three times. Shlosha Kosos Hamuris Ben Mitzrayim Loma, by the dream of the Saramashkim, how come the word Kos is repeated three times? It represents the Kos HaTarela, the bitter cup of wine that Mitzrayim will have to drink on three different occasions in the history of the world. Echad Shishas B'Mai Moshe, the Mitzrayim suffered Esamakis and they all drowned by Kriyas Yams. Echad Shishas B'Mai Paranaka, that was later in the days of Yirmiyahu. Ve'echad shasid lishtus lasid lavay mikol abdei kochav. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo will punish all the Yom Yisraelim who tortured the Jews, and they caused the Jews to suffer so much. So the Mitzrayim will, the Egyptians will also suffer lasid lavay. Those are the three curses that he says. So we have so many different interpretations of the dream of the Sar HaMashkim. Amalei Rabab, the Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, which was his interpretation here. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba said, "Gefen Eli Yisrael, the regal." This whole last interpretation. So he tells him, "That's what Rav interpreted." Ki dorish lu Rav lahani kroi bagadata kavosir dorish lu. When Rav gave a drasha on these psukim, Rav used to give halach and he used to give agada. So when he interpreted, he's giving medrash on this pasuk. He said like you. The Gemara before quoted Rav is saying a totally different pshat that was on top, about 10 lines from the top. Amar Abchir Bar Rabba, Amar Rav, Elegim Osori Geim. Different, I don't know. But here, this Amar says that that's, Rav said, like the last one. Geffen Eli Yisrael, and so on. The Gula. It was showing the Sar Mashkan what's going to be Bishas the Gula. Amar Rav Shimon and Lokesh, the Jewish people, this is if you say Geffen Eli Yisrael, based on the Pasuk and Tillim. Geffen Mitzvah Tasiya. Yeah. So why is the Jewish people compared to a Geffen? So on a vine, there are different parts. You have grapes, and you have leaves, and you have reeds that are useless. So he says, Lama Umazuki Geffen Nimshla. The Jewish people is compared to a Geffen. Right. That's the Pasuk and Tillim. Geffen Mitzvah Tasiya. He says, Marishabo, you have the branches, the ikar of the vine are the grapes. But if you don't have branches, nothing is going to grow. So the grapes that you squeeze out the wine from, he considers, he's a rabbi. So he says, the best part of Klal are the rabbis. Okay. The second best are the balabatim who support the rabbis. Okay. Rosh Lakish was a rabbi, obviously. So he says, is Moira's the branches that give forth the grapes, Ela Balabatim, that they make food and they support the yeshivas and so on. Eshkola Shebo, the clusters of grapes, that's the most important part, Ela Tamil Chachamim. Alim Shebo, Alim are the leaves that protect, you have to have leaves to protect the grapes, otherwise they'll all be burnt by the sun. Or you have to protect them from the wind if there's too strong a wind. So Elu Ami Ha'aretz, they also protect the Rabbonim. We need everybody in Klal Yisrael. And Kenoknos, then you have reeds that grow on a vine that have absolutely no use whatsoever. That's how the Gemara views it. Maybe today they did figure out some use, but the Gemara assumes that the Kenoknos, there are parts of the vine that have no use whatsoever. Elu Rikonim Shebisov, who don't accomplish anything. They don't support the Rabbanim and Hashem. And they once sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, behind the Shulch Meitam. They once sent a letter, the boy Rachamim, they asked the Rabbanim in Bavel, please be mispalo, Eskolaya, the Eshkolot, the Rabbanim, they sent a letter in code, in Melitza, poetic letter, the Eshkolot should pray for the leaves. Means the Rabbanim should pray on behalf of the Ami Ha'aretz, because the Alam Shabbat Eli Ami Ha'aretz. So the Esther Rabbanim and Bava, please pray for the Amaratzim, because we need them, because they support the Rabban. The Moli Olayo, if not for the leaves, let me skamim Eskalaya. The leaves protect the grapes. The Eshkalot will not be able to exist if you don't have the Alam. So you need all the different parts of Klal Yisrael. Okay. You need the Ami Ha'aretz, and you need the Balabatim. Fine. You need everybody. Only the Rekonim we don't need. Okay.
That's right. It says Umazu.
Yes.
Zu is 13. That's yeah. Klal Yisrael. When you reach 13, it includes Amzu Natsarti Tilosi Lisaperu.
Ah. Okay. Aremes. Okay. So now the Gemara has another difficult pasuk in Treyosa. Was a difficult Vechrehali? I bought. The Rebbe Shlom is speaking. I purchased this nation. I acquired ownership of the Jewish people b'chamisha osar kesef. What does that mean? He paid $15 for the Jewish people. Amar Abyecha Mishim Lemshim Ben Yod Tzarek Ein kira ela b'losha mechira. It doesn't mean he bought, it means he acquired ownership. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says chamisha kinyanim, hey, one kinyan Rabban Shalom has a kinyan. Klal Yisrael, we are the possession of the Rabban Shalom. So Rabban Shalom says v'echreha li, I acquired ownership of Klal Yisrael. What does it mean by Chamisha Osar? How does you know that Kira means acquire ownership? Shenema ain loshen mechira. Shenema b'kivya shekarisili. Yankel Avinu says, bury me. He is about to die in Egypt. So he says, please take my body back there. It's so because I paid for the plot there. I paid my brother Esav. Because Yitzchak had two sons. So who's going to get the right to be buried in Moros HaMapel? So he says, bury me, Moros HaMapel, v'kibir shekarisili, I paid for the kever. So that's v'chreh ali, Rebbe Shalom says, I acquired ownership of the Jewish people. So instead of translating with $15, the Gemara says, I acquired ownership, on the 15th of Nisan. 15th of Nisan was Yitzias Mitzrayim. B'chamisha Aser Zeh Chamisha Aser B'Nisan. Shebo Nigalo Yisrael Mitzrayim. When the Rabbanu Shalom took us out of Egypt, so he acquired ownership of us. But it says Chamisha Aser Kesef. Doesn't say $15. So he says no. V'chreli acquired ownership of the Jewish people on the 15th of Nisan. And the schus of Kesef. Kesef means Tzadikim. And Kesef Eilat Tzadikim. V'cheinu Haim Mitzrayim Kesef Lokach Biyado. What is that Tzvar Kesef Lokach Biyado? That's Rashi quotes a whole Medrash here, an interpretation that when the Umas HaOlam were discussing the possibility of coming wiping out the Jewish people, so they said, we better not. The God of the Jewish people is going to punish us. So they said, what do you mean? He left the Beis HaMikdash. He was Mesal Keshchina, don't worry. Then they said, but there are tzaddikim there in Eretz Yisrael, so we can't wipe out the Jewish people. Tzaddikim will pray to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So they said, no, Tzvar Kesef Lokach Biyado. The Rebbeinu Shalom took all the tzaddikim with him. There are no tzaddikim. The Shechina is not there in Eretz Yisrael. The tzaddikim are not there, so there's nothing to worry about. We can destroy the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. So that's how they interpret it. Lechre Ali, I acquired ownership of this Jewish nation, that pasuk in Treyosa, B'chamisha Osa, on the 15th of Nisan, at the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kesef, in the schus of the fact that they were tzaddikim and the Jewish people. Then the pasuk continues, Choyma Se'orim, the Lesach Se'orim. Choyma is a kur. What we call a base kur is called Choyma Se'orim. A kur is, Rashi explains, a kur is 30 saw. A kur is 10 eifa, and an eifa is 3 saw. So you multiply 10 by 3 is 30. So a chomer is a kur, the same thing. So chomer sa'irim is 30 saw, and a lesach means half of that. So half of 30 is 15. So together you add up 30 and 15 is 45. So the Gemara in Sukkah talks about the concept of Lamed Vav Tzadikim. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Ashrei Kachoch Eilo, that there are Lamed Vav Tzadikim, always Lamed Vav Tzadikim will keep the world going. Here the Gemara has a concept, I don't know if it's a disagreement, here the Gemara has a concept, there are 45 Tzadikim Sha'olam Miskayim Bohem. There are 45 Tzadikim that keep the world going. Maybe it's a disagreement, but there are Lamed Vav Tzadikim, and Mem Hei Tzadikim. The Gemara here is interpreting the pasuk, 30 plus 15 is a reference to the 45 tzaddikim that keep the world going. Ben Yodea, do they live in Eretz Yisrael? Do they live in Bavel? So probably half and half. The half of the world Jewish population lived in Bavel in the days of the Talmud Bavli. Half lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they said, Ben Yodea, where the 30 live in Bavel, and there's a chaimer is 30, so and the lesach is 15. So any of that, I don't know how to read the pasuk. Are the 30 in Bavel and 15 in Eretz Yisrael? Im shloshim be'Eretz Yisrael. If 30 in Eretz Yisrael, tezvavkan. So where are they? Kishu Oimer. So it's unclear. Where do they have twice as many tzaddikim? In Bavel or in Eretz Yisrael? So the third pasuk tells you where. Kishu Oimer ve'kcheha shloshim ha'kesef. I took the 30 tzaddikim. Kesef means tzaddikim. V'ash l'chosa beis Hashem. Rabbi Shlom says, I threw the 30 tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael. So you see that the 30 in Eretz Yisrael and the 15 in Bavel. They were surprised. They thought that Bavel had the monopoly on the tzaddikim. They didn't know the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael. So they thought maybe the Roiv, maybe twice as many, maybe the 30 are in Bavel and the 15 are in Eretz Yisrael. So they had this pasuk that says, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ashlechos beis Hashem el ha'oitzer. HaVi'ayimah, what do you see from the pasuk? Shloshim be'Eretz Yisrael v'tez Rav Kan. Twice as many tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael. Shain. Amar Abaye v'Rubayu, and where would you find most of those tzaddikim, Rashi says, who live in Eretz Yisrael? Rubayu, mishtakhi, they will be found in Beit Knishto. He tells you, the Beis HaKnesses is in a certain location. The Tosei Yafto. I don't know. V'ayin d'chsiv, and that's Pshat and the other pasuk. These are different. Rashi writes in the opening pasuk in Zechariah, Zechariah is in the Treyasa. Chagas Chayim Malachim were the three Nevi'im in the beginning of the Ba'isheni period. The Gemara says in Yom, Rabbi Shalom was angry at Bnei Yisrael because they didn't want to come back after Golas Bavel. So he said he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. But he had to send the three Nevi'im, Chagas Chayim Malachim, otherwise they wouldn't be allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. They wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash with authorization from Nevi'im. That's a Sifrei on the Pasuk, L'shich Nesirushu Huvas HaShama, that's in Parshas Re'ei. So the Sifrei understands L'shich Nesirushu Drosh Al Pi Novi. You have to have a Novi to authorize the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Tzvi Hirsch Kalashe came up with his wild idea that we should, Baron Rothschild should put up the money, we should build a Beis HaMikdash, and we should bring Karbonis. So, and he published the whole open letter, Drisha Sion, published the whole open letter to Baron Rothschild in Hebrew, explaining that we can build a Beis HaMikdash. So many Rabbanim said, we can build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to have a Novi to authorize you. Because it says in the Sifrei, the Sheikh Nasiru should Rosh Al Pi Novi. So they said, who says that we pass on like this Sifrei? It's never mentioned in the Gemara. So many Gedolim says it is mentioned. The Gemara says, the Baruch Shalom is angry at Bnei Yisrael, didn't want to send any Nevi'im. And the only reason why he sent Chagas Chayim Malach, because otherwise he wouldn't be able to build a Beis HaMikdash. And each one gave a Nevuah on a different aspect, authorizing different aspects of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi writes at the beginning of Zechariah, it's the most obscure Novi. If you don't have a tradition, you don't know what in the world the Novi Zechariah is talking. The other Nevi'im are also not so clear, but they're not so obscure like Zechariah. Zechariah is the most obscure. So the Pasuk says there in Zechariah, Vo'emar aleihem, im to be'enechem hovu schari, pay me my salary, im lo chidlu, chidlu. Vayishkalu eschari, shloshim kesef. What's going on over here? They gave the Rebbe Shalom $30. What's this all about? What is it referring to? Very obscure. So the Gemara says, "Amachlekes Amorim." What is it referring to? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Amor Rabbi Yehuda interprets Rabbi Yehuda means that he came from Babel. He didn't have smicha. Rabbi means he has smicha. Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud. He a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel. He lived in Babel. He never visited there, so he never got any smicha. So that's why they corrected on the side. They took away the smicha instead of Rabbi Yehuda. They corrected this Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that this is a reference to the 30 tzaddiki umas ha'olam that keep the world going. In this chus, we have 45 tzaddikim, but we have Lamed Vav tzaddikim, the Gemara Sukkah. Here, the Umas Ha'olam have to have tzaddikim also, they keep them going, so the Gemara, they have 30. So that's Vayishkalu Aschari, Shloshim Kesef. What salary? What are they paying the Rebbe Shalom? Kesef is a reference to tzaddikim we had before. Tzaddikim, Jewish tzaddikim are called Kesef, and the tzaddikim Umas Ha'olam also called Kesef. So the 30 tzaddikim, that's what the Navi is referring to. He's alluding to the fact the Umas Ha'olam, every generation have 30 tzaddikim, keep them going. And Ula interprets, no, it doesn't refer to tzaddikim, it refers to 30 mitzvahs that the Umas Ha'olam observe that keeps them going. Ula Omar, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Ula lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda lived in Babel. So there are different traditions here. Ula Omar, Ula interprets, Eilu Shloshim mitzvah shekib l'alei m'nei noach. They only observe from the 30 mitzvahs that they have, they only observe three. What are the three? So one of them is disappeared already. Achas, that they practice homosexuality, but they don't officially approve of the marriage. They don't the government doesn't approve of the marriage. They do live together, but they don't make it official. Not like today. So the Gemara says this. Yeah, this is a schus that they have, even though they practice Mishkav Zachar, but they don't recognize it officially by the government. V'achas, another one, they practice cannibalism, they eat human flesh of dead people, but at least they don't sell it in the butcher shop, they don't weigh it on the scale. They do it the Bitzina, not the Farhesi, like the Mishkav Zachar, they do Bitzina. V'achas, the second mitzvah that they do observe, she'en shoklam b'sar hames b'markulet. They eat human flesh, but they don't sell it in the butcher shop on the scale. Some of them do. Some of them do mechabnim esater. Some of them are mechabnim esater. I learned bechavrusa sometimes with a Persian fellow. He came from Persia, so he says that when they had the revolution, he was just telling me again this week, when they had the revolution in Egypt, and they arrested Mubarak, and then he was sick also, and they were afraid he was going to die in prison. So Chacham Ovadia was still alive at that time, and he said in public, we have to be mispalo, that they should release him, and that he should get better, because he has chusim. And he told over this story, that when he was the chief rabbi, the Egyptian government was going to, they were making a highway, and the highway was going to go right over the Jewish cemetery, but they had, it was a cemetery from centuries earlier, they had a lot of tzaddikim buried there. So he specially traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt to speak to Mubarak, and there was a meeting, everybody there, and he was explaining that it's not proper, they shouldn't have the cemetery go, they shouldn't have the highway go over the cemetery. So Mubarak said, it's going to be a very expensive, we've got to reroute this, the highway, it's going to be expensive, but Rabbi, out of respect for your religion, we've got to do it. But then he said, Mubarak asked everybody to please leave the room, he wants to be alone with the Rabbi. So Rabbi Chacham Avadia said over, he was alone with him, he walked over to him, he kneeled on the floor, and he kissed his hand, and he asked for a bracha. He should give him a bracha, that he should be matzliach. He gave him a bracha, he should have a malchus that should last for many years, and he should be healthy. So he said, he has a big schus, that he was mechabed the Torah, he was mechabed him, as the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, and he spent a fortune of money to reroute the highway. So this chavrusa of mine, when this happened years ago, he thought that it was a tefillah shav. What do you mean we should pray that they shouldn't kill Mubarak? Whenever there's a revolution, then they have a minute of a revolution. They kill right away. The previous, they didn't kill him, and he got better. He had a refuah. They let him out of prison. He got better. So the Gemara says some of the umasayla mamachabnim sater. Some of them are. Some of them are not. The Nazis burnt the Sefer Torah. The Nazis trampled on the Torah. The Gemara says these are the three mitzvahs that they do observe. What are the 30 mitzvahs? We are familiar with seven mitzvahs ben enoch. What are the 30 mitzvahs? Rashi says he does know what it is. Loinis parshu. But here the Gemara Mahachu, who the Alakla, the Gemara learns that from this Pasuk, this obscure Novi, Zechariah, we don't know what he's talking about. So he, Rabbi Yehuda interpreted that he's talking about the 30 tzaddikim, and Ulda interpreted he's talking about the 30 mitzvahs that the Bnei Noach observed. Which are the 30? So that's what, there's a famous interpretation, probably in the back of the Gemara, they probably have. There's a Ramban on Parshas by Yishlach. When Shimon Velevi wiped out the whole city Shechem. So the Ramban has a whole essay in his commentary on Chumash. What right did they have to wipe out the city Shechem? So the Rambam says because they failed to observe the mitzvah of dinim. One of the seven mitzvahs of Benach is dinim, and dinim means they have to have a court system, they have to have a legal system, constitution, and a court system. And when someone does something there, you have to bring him to trial. And if he deserves a punishment, you have to punish him. Here, Shechem ben Hamor raped Dina Bas Yaakov, and nobody did anything. They let him get away with it. So they were all Chayav Mesa because they didn't observe, they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dinah. So the Ramban thinks that that's not correct. When you do an Averit, when a Nochri does Gezel, when a Nochri violates Arayas, when a Nochri violates Avodah Zarah, he violates an Averit, B'kul B'yaseh, but he doesn't fulfill a mitzvah, B'shei B'al Taseh, he didn't bring the criminal to justice. They allowed the Shechem to get away with the fact that he attacked Dina. So you fail to do a mitzvah, so you give an Einish Misa, so he doesn't agree with the Rambam. So the Ramban says, in his opinion, what does Dina mean? It doesn't mean a court system. He thinks Dina means that the Bnei Noach have to observe all the Choftal at Ovis Nezikin. The Gemara has the first Mishnah in Bava Kama says, Arba Ovis Nezikin. The four categories, Shor, Bor, Mab, and Hevet. And the Brisa quotes there are 13 Avos Nezikin, then Rav Chiya says there are 24 Avos Nezikin. The Ramban says he thinks that Dina means that the Bnei Noach have to follow all the 24 Avos Nezikin. So that's what one of the Achranim in the back of the Gemara says, if you have seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, so you have six plus Dinim, and Dinim is Choftalat Avos Nezikin, so that's 24, so 24 and 6 is 30. Those are the 30. It doesn't fit into the Gemara though, it's a Pshetl. It doesn't fit into the Gemara because the Gemara says from all the 30 they only observe the following three. These three are not from the 30.
Right.
He's saying Gezel and Arayas and Avodah Zarah and the 24 Avos Nezikin, but the three that they mention, Emikam and Malash Losha, the three that they observe are not from the list of 30. So that's a pshetl. It's an interesting pshetl. But that's the problem. We're not sure exactly what the Rashi said. We're not sure what the 30 are. That's what he says on the side. He tells you to look in and Asara Mamoras, where he talks about it. What are the 30 mitzvahs that the Bnei Noach HaMakabe?
Do we get to Lamed Vav?
The Gemara in Sukkah has Ashrei Kochoch Elo, it's the praises of those who hope to Hashem that he should bring the Gula Asida. So Lo Bigematria Lamed Vav is 36. So that's what the Gemara says. There are always going to be 36 tzaddikim. Then the Gemara says, what do you mean 36? But there are thousands and thousands of tzaddikim. So the Gemara says, no, different levels of tzaddikim. There's a higher level of tzaddikim, then there are fewer. And then the Gemara says, but Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, if there are only two tzaddikim in the whole wide world, that's me and my son. How can you say if there are only two? But we know that there are always at least 36 on this high level. The Gemara says, that's even a higher level. He's talking about the high level of tzaddikim possible, there are only one or two. And then there's another level with 36. Then there's another level with thousands and thousands of tzaddikim in the world. Different levels of tzaddikim. That's how the Gemara says. Okay, this was all I got there. Now the Gemara is going back to the halacha.
The Gemara is saying also that the woman after the
Yeah, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in, where's pasuk? Ovadia? Forgot it, we're in Treyosa. Omar by Meided Eretz, Roh by Yate Goyim, Omar by Meided Eretz, at the time Hamamin Hasina, the Baruch Shalom looked over the whole world, and he measured, he weighed and measured what's going on. He saw the Ummah Soilav are not observing the Sheven Mitzvahs, Bnei Noach, they're not keeping up. So Roh by Yate Goyim, Hatamate Gemach, they said, okay, you don't have to observe the Sheven Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, how can it be? Motzino Chayte Niskar, crime pays? If you do Aveira, so Rabbi Shalom says, forget it, you don't have to observe the Sheva Mitzvah. Mar says, no, they do have to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, but usually when a person observes a mitzvah, he gets reward. But if he only observes as an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, let's say a man shakes a lulav and a woman shakes a lulav, so who deserves more reward? So it's a machlokes in the Gemara. One opinion is the women deserve more reward because they did it voluntarily out of the goodness of their heart. The accepted opinion is fakir, that the mitzvah v'yos, the godal mitzvah v'yos, the mishen mitzvah v'yos, the man who's obligated to shake the lulav gets more reward than the woman, because the woman is ain't a mitzvah v'yos.
But the obus were ain't a mitzvah v'yos.
The obus were koyde matan tere, yeah. Was ain't a mitzvah v'yos.
That's a very high standard they were at, obviously.
Okay. There was still ain't a mitzvah v'yos. What were we explaining? I already lost track. Oh, so the Gemara says, the Ummah Soilam are still held responsible to observe the Sheva Mitzvah Menach. Omad Vihita Lehem means even if they'll observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, they won't get reward. Like a Mitzvah V'yaseh, they'll only get reward like an Eina Mitzvah V'yaseh. So when the Rebbe Shlom Omad Vihita Lehem, the Rebbe Shlom saw they're violating the Sheva Mitzvahs, and he said, forget about it. It doesn't mean forget about it. You don't have to observe it and you won't be punished. No, they will be punished if they violate it. But even if they'll, it was lira osam, not with toiv osam. Hitalahem means, even if they'll observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, they won't get reward like a mitzvah v'yos, they'll only get less reward. That's where Rabbi Yosef Engel explains what is the concept of the ger toisha. Ger toisha means a non-Jew who accepts upon himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvah v'nach. What do you mean he accepts upon himself? He's mechuyev to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs. What is he accepting? So he says maybe that's the difference. Maybe even though the Gemara says in Bava Kama Daf Lamaches that all after Matan Torah the Nochrim will never get reward as a mitzvah v'yaseh because Omer v'hita lahem, the Baruch Hashem said, I'll treat it as if you're not mechuyev with respect to the schar, but one who is a ger toshav who accepts upon himself in the presence of a bezna of three Jewish, a ger who wants to convert has to come in the presence of a bezna of shlosha, and a goy who wants to become a ger toshav to accept upon himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvah also has to accept it in the presence of a bezna of three Jews. So maybe the Ger Toshav is considered now a mitzvah v'yosim. You have to have some difference, otherwise what's the relevance of the institution of the Ger Toshav? Well, the Nochem HaMuchiv to observe the Sheva Mitzvah
b'nei noach. But the Nachamina is for us. If they accept it, we don't drive them out of Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
And if we don't...
There are differences lahalacha, but what does it mean? He accepts upon what does it mean the acceptance? What are you accepting? You're mechuyev to observe the Sheva Mitzvah even if you don't accept it. So what does it mean? You're accepting. You're obligating himself to observe it. What changes then? The redinim later will change. The redinim of if you kill a ger toshav, you go to Ari Miklot. There are several nafkaminas lahalacha between the mitzvah to give tzedakah to a ger toshav, mitzvah la'achayoso. There are differences.
See the Yoder Mitzal, the Barber mentions, but see the Yoder Mitzal alone.
Yeah.
Would be those Gary Tosha that accepted.
Yeah, Toshav is certainly from the Hasidim of Yom. Yeah, but say an Anachri observes seven mitzvahs is Hasidim of Yom. What do you mean he accepted upon himself in the presence of a bezin of three Jewish people to observe the seven mitzvahs? What does it mean accepting? He's mechuyav anyway. Whether he accepts or doesn't, you have to say the Kabbalah accomplishes something already. So that's why Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests maybe it accomplishes that it makes him into a mitzvah v'yosef. He'll get reward like a mitzvah v'yosef. Maybe we'll do a little bit of halacha. We haven't done halacha in a while. Nachmal, so the Mishnah has, there are three types of animals. There's a behema, chaya, and oif. So we learned kisi adam was the previous perek. So kisi adam only applies if it's chaya or oif. If it's behema, there's no mitzvah kisi adam. Chickens and turkeys, there's a mitzvah kisi adam. Osev ezbeno only applies to behema v'chaya and doesn't apply to oif. And Zrolach Hayayim Bahakeva, whenever you shecht the behema, you shecht the chayah, there's no din on the behema. There's no din in Zrolach Hayayim Bahakeva. Chelev is only also by behema. Not by chayah and oif, there is no din of chelev. And Kisi Adah and Ger Anosh, it says in the Mishnah, it's only noig by behema, b'chayah, and it's not noig by oif. How do you know it's not noig by oif? The original Ger Anosh was on a human being, on Yankel Avinu. So the pasuk is Akein Lo Yochum Neisah is Gira Noshe. So the Minchas Chinuch discusses is Gira Noshe Noig on a human being. So he says, well, there's a machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban where if a person dies, if it's a Jewish person who died, so Meis is Osamano. Let's say it's a Goyish person dies. So strictly speaking, it's not Osamano. Is it Osabachilo? Is human flesh Osabachilo? So the Rambam says there's an Iser Esei. And the Ramban says he doesn't think there's an Iser Esei either. He doesn't even see that there's an Iser Esei. So the Menachas Chinuch suggests, the Mishnah says that Gira Nosh is not Noeg and an animal that's not kosher. So he says, according to the Rambam, that human flesh is Osir, so Gira Nosh is not Noeg and a human body. Even though the original story of Gira Nosh was on Yankov Avinu. According to the Ramban, it will be Noeg because the human flesh is a Mutta. So the Mishnah has, the Pasuk doesn't say where it's Noeg. On a human body, or behema, so the mission is only behema v'chaya, it's not noig ba'of. Why? Because ain't no kaf. Because an oaf doesn't have a kaf. The giranosha is only, minatora, the only that part of the giranosha is usr that goes, what do we have? We have a leg, we have a foot on the bottom that goes horizontally, then we have a bone that goes from the ankle to the knee, then we have a third bone that goes from the knee to the thigh. And the behemoth, all three are straight. All three are vertical. The behemoth doesn't have a foot that goes horizontally. All three are vertical. So when it on top of the middle bone, in between the top bone and the middle bone, there's a calf. So the Giranoshe goes the whole length of the leg. But Menatar, only that part that's ala calf is also. The rest is mutter. So the Mishnah says, an oaf doesn't have a calf. That's why it's not noig. Asher akaf ayorech. Since the oif doesn't have a kaf, so there's no gid on oshin. So the Gemara says it's not true. The Gemara asked on the third line from the top of Tzadik Beis, and Mevokal Chazina, the isla does have a kaf. The oif also has a kaf. And for the Gemara, no. Isle beloi agil. The oif has a kaf, but it's not ogled. By the behem and the chaya, it's like a semicircle. But by the oaf, it's flat, it's not round on top. So that's what the Mishnah means. Asher al kaf ayorech is only if it has the shape of a kaf, it doesn't have the shape. Frag di Gemara shaylo. Does it really depend on the metzias? What if you have a behema b'chayo that has a kaf, but it's not ogul, it's abnormal? And what if you have an oaf that has a kaf that is ogul? Does it depend on the min of behema b'chayo versus the min of oaf? Or does it depend on the metzias? So the Gemara says, take with the natura. By Rabbi Yirmiya, Isle loif agil, what's the din? If a knife has an abnormal shape, it has a calf that is round. Or isle the behem of a loy agil, the behem of a chai don't have mai. Do you say it depends on each and every individual? Behem of a bus, the day has lina, a bus, a mina, so the Gemara says take. So this, we have to learn more Gemara to know this is a crucial shayla. This is in the Bible of Shita. So there's a Rajbo based on Gemara's later. Who assumes that it does depend on the min, doesn't depend on the particular animal. So that's a shaila Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. Here the Gemara left it out in the Bayit Leib Shita. The Rashba learns the Gemara later assuming that it does, it depends on the type of the animal. Okay, the next Gemara is also going to go back to halacha.
How was the Gemara where we said that one of the
Shabbat mitzvahs
is not to eat
that they don't, means it's not their cheretz. It's not. It's a bizoyan. It's a bizoyan. Strictly speaking, it's mutter, but to sell it in the butcher shop and to weigh it on the scale is a bizoyan. Simple reading is that it's asa. Yeah. Simple reading is like the Rambam that it really is asa. That is correct. Yeah. Every year when they read the Sedra, I'm always noticing the same thing. The Malachim came to destroy the city, Stone Bamur, the five towns. Because they were all sitting over there. It was terrible. So the Pasuk says, after the whole city was destroyed, when the Baruch Shalom caused the Malachim to destroy the cities, so the simple pshat in the pasuk is Lot really didn't deserve to be Nitzel. It was only in the schus of Avram. He was Avram Avinu's nephew, so he was Nitzel, and his wife was Nitzel, and his daughters were Nitzel, all in the schus of Avram. On their own, they didn't really deserve to be Nitzel. So the pasuk tells us this in the middle of the whole story. They didn't know what's going on. They didn't have the news. They didn't have TV. They didn't have a newspaper. They didn't know what's going on. So they thought the whole world was destroyed. And if they're not going to sleep with their father to have children, that's going to be the end of the whole human race. So they thought just like in the days of Adam HaRishon, Cain and Hevel were living with their sisters. Adam Chesed Yibona. Chesed, a man who violates Gilui Arayis sleeps with a relative is called Chesed, who, that's terrible. But Adam Chesed Yibana, the whole world was based on Chesed because they had no one else to marry, so they had to sleep with their sister. So they felt correctly so. The whole world, they thought the whole world was destroyed. They didn't realize the whole world was still there, only their cities were destroyed. They thought the whole world was destroyed and Avram Avinu was dead, and the only tzaddik in the whole wide world who was spared was Lot and his two daughters, so they have to do something. So they were rewarded because of the fact that they thought they're saving all of mankind. The Gemara says, let's say, the doctor says there's a chela mesukan on Shabbos and he needs some fresh fruits, and 10 people run to get the pluck the fresh fruits from the tree. So by the time the 10th one runs, he didn't know that the other 9 people already brought the fruits to the chela, and the chela ate the fruit and he got better. He was mechal Shabbos after everything was taken care of, but he thought he's saving the guy's life. So if you thought you're saving the person's life, so pikuach nefesh, the derech Shabbos, even though it doesn't correspond to reality. You thought that you're saving the guy's life. Someone called me up, guy, someone from Queens, Tucker, called me up. They're in Eretz Yisrof, families in Eretz Yisrof, and the mother's on a deathbed. So the daughter says she's an Eretz Yisrof dicker. So the daughter wants to come back on Yom Tov Sheni, she'll go. She wanted to come back on Simchas Torah. By them, it's Yisro Chag. By us, it was Simchas Torah. So I said, if you come back, you have to stay in the airport till after Yonta. After Yonta is going to be Shabbos, so you won't be able to come to see your mother. So she said she wants to take a taxi on the highway. I said, but you're going to come to Chatrum, and you come to Chatrum, so then you're in. She thinks she's going to extend the mother's life. She thinks, because she sang to the mother over the telephone, the mother was tossing and turning on a deathbed. The mother was tossing all day, 24 hours, and this daughter in Eretz Yisrael, the oldest child, was singing to the mother on the phone. She thinks she extended the mother's life. So I said, if you really honestly think that that's the case, I thought it was a little ridiculous, but if you really think you're going to extend the mother's life, so you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos also to extend the mother's life. So she came from Eretz Yisrael, and the mother died while she was on the plane. She didn't extend the mother's life, but she thought, I don't know, she talked it into herself or whatever, she thought, so that's a din. If a person thinks, under the circumstance, you think that there's a chance that you're going to extend someone's life, that's called pikuach nefesh, even if in reality it doesn't correspond to what's going on. So the Gemara says the b'nai Lot were rewarded, and the Bechora was rewarded because she was with the father the first night, and the Tzira was rewarded less because she was with the father the second night. They were both rewarded because they thought they were saving the world. But the truth of the matter was, they were only nitzon the tchus of Avraham Avinu. They thought that they were the biggest tzaddikim. The whole world is destroyed except for them. So the Gemara has in Tainis, in Masechus Tainis, the Gemara says sometimes you have a whole country and nobody deserves to have any rain. The rain means parnasa. When it was an agricultural society, so nothing is going to grow if you don't have rain. The whole country doesn't deserve. There's one farmer who's a tzaddik, and exclusive that tzaddik, the whole country gets rain. The whole area gets rain. Sometimes you have a whole institution, you have a whole yeshiva, whatever, and there's one person, the janitor is a tzaddik. So in the schus of the janitor, the whole institution has a keel, because he needs a parnasa. Men HaShemayim, they're only worried about the janitor, or one of the secretaries. You can never tell, it's hard to tell in whose schus. You have to treat everybody with respect. In whose schus is the world going? Whose schus did the rain come? So that's what they thought, that it was in their schus. They thought that they're the Noshim Tzidkaniyas, and they were rewarded, because they thought that they're saving the world. That's the din of Pikuach Nefesh. But in reality, the pasuk says that the whole thing was only in the schus of Avraham Avinu. If not for Avraham Avinu, Lot but the two daughters would not have been Nitzalina. It's interesting.
Somebody asked me today, Nidius, at least six Mishnayas, that Beshul's Nachmi and Besham is Mekel. And that's all the lists. He wants to know if it's Tavka. He said he found many more Mishnayas not mentioned in
there. There are probably more. I thought there are more.
So the fact that it says six, what does this Mishnayas mean?
I don't know. Why only these six?
The next one has more.
Yeah.
Still, he says there are other Mishnayas not even mentioned in this.
The Gemara says it depends how the original Machlokes Yerushalmi is. So, how was it formulated? What was the case that they brought up? Sometimes you have a Machlokes Yerushalmi is, but sometimes the Shiloh, this, and because of the same Nakuda, sometimes it'll come out Lahachma, sometimes Lahachma. The Gemara says the Mishnah lists off Ki Itchel, depends how was the initial Machlokes, how did it come about? What was the original Shiloh? When they asked the Shaila. So when they asked the original Shaila, these were the only six cases or whatever it is. That Beshamai Lohakel. In the other cases, the Shaila was presented in such a way that it was really Beis Hillel was Lohakel. The Chapnaf Kamin is what Beis Hillel will be Lohakmer also. It could be the way the initial Shaila was presented, it was Beis Hillel Lohakel and the other Shaila.
But there could be others than those.
Yeah, I think there are more. Yeah, I don't think it's Dafka. Hi, Shalom Aleichem.